98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Cardinals are on the field doing some little hurdles, doing some jogging, doing a little special teams work. Maloney and Minch are in the Auction Community Studios. Maloney's going to run Rush Hour Reboot while we sit in the Dave Pass press box. Or should I say the Dave Pass play-by-play booth?
Yes, at Pash Pod or something.
Yeah, Pash Pod play-by-play position.
Press box.
Yeah. There you go.
The Suns are running it back with the point guard as CP3 agreed to stay in Phoenix, securing a four-year deal that could be worth up to $120 million. Here's ESPN's Kendrick Perkins.
Signing this deal was a huge thing for the Phoenix Suns because now they got their captain back, they have their floor general back, they have their leader back. So I think it's a both win. It's a both parties won in this situation for us, Chris Paul getting signed back.
Your reaction.
Oh, yeah, he's right. And more than just both parties. Fans won. Us in the media won because we feel like we've got another postseason to cover. And we won because Devin Booker is going to be happier. And whatever rumors are out there, he'll want to stay. And potential free agents in the future will actually consider coming to the Suns because Robert Sarver really stuck his neck out and shows that maybe he's willing to change the reputation he had earned over the last 10 years.
What a great day to be a Phoenix Suns fan, seriously. I can't get over that right there. Chris Paul agreeing to the four-year contract up to $120 million. Chris Paul wants to finish his career as a Phoenix Sun. That, to me, is incredible. It truly is. And the Suns, you know what? Hey, there's a symbiotic relationship that has formed between this organization and Chris Paul. To me, just the fact he's going to finish his career here, that says an awful lot, and I love that.
Backup point guard Cam Payne has agreed to re-up with the Phoenix Suns on a three-year $19 million deal. The Suns and free agent center JaVale McGee have also reportedly agreed to a one-year contract worth $5 million. Here's Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports.
Phoenix Suns, they're all in. They're trying to shore this thing up and trying to make sure that last season was not just a fluke of a year. They want to go out there and prove that they're a legitimate championship contending team. And so the first part was shoring up Chris Paul. They got Cameron Payne. There's some other guys they're going after as well. I might as well throw out there also looking at JaVale McGee. Mm.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, after the Suns' reported signings in free agency, how far do you think they'll make it in the playoffs? Your choices? NBA Finals? Western Conference Finals? First or second round exit?
I have absolutely no idea. Where's Kawhi Leonard going to play? Can we know that before we guess? Are you 100% sure Damian Lillard's a member of the Portland Trailblazers when the season starts? How is the Westbrook Lakers going to look? I got too many questions to come anywhere near answering that. But for the first time in a long time, we can stand on the table and say we 100% expect the Suns to go to the playoffs, and we can say that with the utmost certainty for the first time in 11 years.
This I can say with certitude, Basinonians. I think the Phoenix Suns are going to be better than they were last year. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be, he's going to come along and he's going to improve his game. He's going to be better than he was last year. I think Mikal Bridges, the experience of going through a real postseason, going through the melee that the Phoenix Suns did, I think Mikal Bridges is going to be better off for it. I think Cam Johnson is going to be better for it. I do. I think their game is going to improve. Not only the knowledge of the game, but their game physically on the court is going to improve because of the confidence that they're going to be able to throw out there. The fact that they were two wins away from an NBA championship, two wins away. Campaign is going to be better because of it. It's the fact they're bringing back the guys that really grew together and developed as a team. They're going to be better individually and better collectively, and I do love the addition of JaVale McGee.
So 59% say first or second round exit, 21% say Western Conference Finals, and then 19% say NBA Finals. So Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins spoke with the media yesterday and discussed what he expects from the Cardinals offense and how Kyler Murray has grown going into year three.
A lot of growth. I would say the biggest thing is just him communicating with us outside of football and just trying to get to know his teammates.
Your thoughts on this? Mm.
I love that moment. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins went into the press conference thinking, I have got to either dispel a rumor or make sure everybody knows things are getting better on a front where Kyler's been criticized. I think he's just speaking from the heart. This is what's going on. It just so happens, whether it's fair or not, a lot of us in the media, I think some of you as fans, question Kyler's off-season relationships and whether or not he's able to build up a communication repertoire with guys to really speak to them so that they listen and want to listen during the season. And to hear that being the first compliment out of D-Hop's mouth, that gets you excited.
I think of J.J. Watt when I listened to D-Hop right there. J.J. Watt, remember J.J. Watt was talking about getting to know his teammates. Mm-hmm. Getting to know his teammates before he could actually feel like he could then lead and do it properly. He's so right on the money right there. You don't know how certain guys are going to respond. Some guys you need to get in their face. Some guys you need to be able to give a little bit of sugar, whatever it may be. And I think you get to know your teammate when you reach out. And I think that's what D-Hop is probably alluding to, the fact that Kyler Murray has done that. He's been intentional trying to reach out to his teammate and get to know his teammate a little bit more. That is huge going forward because now – it gives you a better idea as to how you have to lead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there it was. That was a soft out.
We are live at State Farm Stadium, the Doug and Wolf Show, and more importantly to us is what's up next. That the Suns have done exactly what we needed them to do. You know about Chris Paul, you know about campaign, but there's one other signing that could help immensely. We'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
I think what this says is that, look, man, the Phoenix Suns are committed. They're going all in. They're going for it.
Now they got their captain back. They have their floor general back. They have their leader back. So I think both parties won.
The first part was showing up Chris Paul. They got Cameron Payne. There's some other guys they're going after as well. I might as well throw out there. They're also looking at JaVale McGee.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Now, the one could switch on a dime if somebody gets hit.
No, I love it, Douglas.
It's still a little bit of the walkthrough portion of practice right now. Kyler Murray just threw a pass. But there's nothing going on as of yet that we need to break into. However, the fans have been allowed in, and they are starting to pour in as this is an open practice for fans. So until one pad hits another pad, we will stay with our number one plan, and the number one plan is looking at the Phoenix Suns and what they have done in free agency, and it didn't take very long. You know about the Chris Paul signing, 4 years, $120 million. If you just tuned in, we spent a lot of time on that. There's nothing wrong with spending more because that's as big as it gets.
And it's Chris Paul.
And it's one of the biggest free agent signings in the NBA, obviously. I realize somebody would argue, well, he's staying on the same team, so as of now, Kyle Lowry to the Heat might be a bigger one. But
and what are the Knicks doing?
And what are the Knicks doing with all that cap space right now? So there's a lot of other things to get into, but in order to win a championship, the bench is something that separates one championship team from another championship pretender. You know, and that's a big deal. And the Suns did two major signings that have a lot to do with returning to the NBA Finals, and that is keeping one piece that single-handedly won a playoff game or two, it felt like at times. Probably it's an overstatement, but it felt like it, and that's campaign. And number two, another signing in JaVale McGee that fills up a hole that was frighteningly evident during the postseason, and that's a backup center.
Yeah, you know what? Campaign, man. 3 years, $19 million. Just good for Campaign, right? I mean, this is something that here's a guy who has been through the ringer, a guy that was a lottery pick, and he has had the long and winding road to actually make it in the NBA. And the fact that he has... Just go back to the relationship that Campaign had with Monty Williams and the fact that Monty Williams wanted him here, brought him here with the Phoenix Suns, and look what has transpired because of that right now. It is unbelievable. Campaign, the gratitude that he must have. When you talk about the five pillars of Monty Williams and the culture of the Phoenix Suns, gratitude is one of those things. And I think of Campaign and the gratitude he must have to be in this situation right now, to be coached by Monty Williams and this organization, three-year contract, $19 million. Oh, by the way, my big brother, my mentor is Chris Paul. That's got to just, that is going to pay dividends for Campaign over the course of this 3 years. Hopefully, they're going to remain together. I love the fact that Campaign comes in and is a different point guard than Chris Paul is. I love the difference. I know they play together from time to time on the floor. Hasn't really been that effective to me for the most part, but I love the fact that when Chris Paul sits down, you've got Campaign, and he represents a different set of schematics for the opponent.
I totally agree. Listen, I'll take Chris Paul any way I can get him, but I don't like my backup point guard to be as much of a distributor, because your backup point guard is playing with guys that aren't as great at scoring. So who are you distributing it to? And I don't like my starting point guard to have the Russell Westbrook Campaign mentality of score first. I love it in reverse. I love a score first point guard coming off my bench, because you might be the best offensive player I have on my bench. So I want that kind of aggression. And I want you to be able to create for yourself first. And at the same time, if you don't have a guy like Chris Paul, boy, do you end up having a lot of laziness on defense, because you have a lot of guys that are getting back on defense frustrated they didn't just get the ball. And I just ran all the way down here just for you, point guard, to drive the bucket.
You're going to get the stare.
And then you're going to get the stare. And now I'm worried about my offense more than I'm worried about my defense. Should it be that way? Absolutely not. Has it been that way for 100 years? Yes. So are you going to be the one to really change it? Probably not. So I love the dynamic of these two. And you know, James Jones was asked on Friday, this is last Friday, who does he think he should add? And I think while you listen to this, maybe you should think they already knew JaVale McGee was a possibility.
It's crazy, but I want to add to every position. You know, I think we can use another playmaker. You know, especially interior scoring with Dario going down is going to be a huge focus for us. Interior defense, I thought DeAndre was phenomenal last year. He basically held our defense together by himself. I'm asking him to guard Giannis, Brooke Lopez, you know, LeBron, Anthony Davis. So defensively, we can get a little bit better on the interior, but I'm still looking to add more depth, because I still believe unless you have two or three of the top 15 players in the NBA, you're going to have to win with your team.
Just like DeAndre Ayton offensively right now, but I think this will change eventually, but just like DeAndre Ayton offensively, JaVale McGee is a point guard dependent center. But he is a guy that on alley-oops and on the offensive glass can score. I think anybody that's followed, if you're like a hardcore Suns fan, but you don't really follow the whole NBA at the same time, the guy is unbelievable at athletic offensive rebounding and getting it stuck back in the basket immediately. And when he's coming off your bench, you're not worried about the foul trouble he might get on the offensive glass, or necessarily the foul trouble he might get on the defensive side of things. Fouling guys you want to try to take liberties on their way to the lane. So I think he is a perfect fit into what the Suns want to do when you have point guards the skill of Chris Paul and Campaign.
I think JaVale McGee is a motor guy. I think he's a motor guy. And you're 7 foot, you're 270 pounds. And you're a motor guy? I'll take that all day long
You know, it's an interesting point, because I don't think DeAndre Ayton was ready for the gap of energy between himself and Rashawn Holmes while Rashawn Holmes was here. He still wasn't in that mode of this is what it takes to be an NBA player. And maybe after his growth last year, that if you drop JaVale McGee on him in practice for the upcoming season, when he's a little more accepting of what it takes to be a champion, this might be a perfect time to up his intensity in practice now that he believes in himself.
Yeah, I just think JaVale McGee is going to have a big impact on DeAndre Ayton. James Jones knows what he's doing. James Jones understands that chemistry is important. It's one of the reasons why the Phoenix Suns in that locker room have the kind of chemistry they do. Mm-hmm. That was no accident, Basinonians. That was put together by a master planner, that being James Jones. That kind of chemistry, a chemistry that is going to thrive under Monty Williams and his guidance and his culture. That chemistry is not by accident, and it's one of the things I think James Jones values, weighs, and measures, and determines whether or not a guy is found wanting based on how is he going to fit in that locker room. How many times has James Jones actually talked to us about that? That he'd rather have fit than talent. He'd rather have a good fit by a guy. Well, to me, that tells me he's researched JaVale McGee and understands what type of player he is. And because of that, I think he's going to apply that, and it's going to be beneficial to DeAndre Ayton in that locker room. He's going to grow even more, I believe, because of JaVale McGee, because of my faith in James Jones in doing the vet process, vetting these guys out, and because he knows fit is so critical. I'm encouraged by that.
I also like this a lot from a James Jones perspective because it speaks to the ego side of things, or maybe the lack thereof, and here's what I mean. None of us have any idea what Jalen Smith is going to do in the Las Vegas Summer League. None of us have any idea what he may or may not develop into. But James Jones isn't the type of person that says, I, as general manager, picked this guy. We need to give him space to see what he's going to do. He's looking at it and saying, what's best for the team right now? If we have a chance to win the NBA Finals, JaVale McGee is a much better option right now than Jalen Smith. Therefore, I go out and I sign this guy. There were a lot of general managers that would say, no, I've drafted Jalen Smith. We're not going to put somebody in his way, and I'm going to stand on the table and believe in him.
Good
and to
point.
Your point of fit, there's no doubt in year one, people that said Halliburton or Shadiq Bey have been proven right for 1 year. We have no idea if that's going to matter in years down the road. But instead of saying, you know what, I want to show everybody what I can do as a drafting GM, he just says, what's best for us right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what's best for them right now is far and away signing JaVale McGee. And then anything Jalen Smith does give you is a tremendous bonus.
Well, that's the reason why Landry Shamet is here as well, right?
Right.
He's here because of that. Because it wasn't going to be the 29th pick in the draft. It was going to be a player that could be a rotational player and a guy that is a shooter, something James Jones values maybe above all other skills that a player could have, his ability to shoot the ball, and that's what Landry Shamet can do, shoot the ball. I love that. Anyways, listen, James Jones to me, the reason why I'm so bullish on him, the reason why I love James Jones is because he's a general manager, he's an NBA executive who thinks as a player. Yet it doesn't dominate him. He's still got to keep the front office perspective. He still has to keep the big picture in mind. But, man, he values what's going on inside that locker room. He values culture. And he's going out and getting these guys like a JaVale McGee who will model the kind of culture that Monty Williams has and has developed. Why would he bring anybody in that might be a thorn in the side? Why would he ever do? He would not do that. He's going to bring people in and continue to bring people into the organization that think the way everyone else thinks. Pulling on that rope in one direction.
We are live at State Farm Stadium. Minch and Maloney are live in the Auction Community Studios. But I can tell you, for all of you that like to get a hold of us on Twitter, I struggle a little bit when we're on the road to be able to read Twitter and check my emails and check my phone to do all the things I do as the driver. So a better way to get a hold of us is the FanDuel text line. And then Mitch and Maloney can send me stuff that's on your mind for us to ask or get to today. So give us your thoughts, but just make sure you include your name by texting us at 620-620 on the FanDuel text line. But again, please include your name so we could give you the credit. Coming up next, I told you we're at State Farm Stadium. We're in the broadcast booth looking down on the field of players with pads. Hitting hasn't started yet, but it will. What's Wolf looking for? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Practice started at 8 o'clock this morning with some light stretching, then some walkthrough work, some special team work. Now players are on the field doing more of the dynamic stretching and a team stretch. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. But today is the first day that the Cardinals are in pads, and it's very, very interesting. It's not the first day they were allowed to be in pads, which is kind of it was just an assumption by everybody. Well, of course you'll be in pads the first time you're allowed to be in pads. And the Cardinals chose not to, so today is not the first day they're allowed to, but the first day they are.
And here they are in pads right now, man. It looks really, really good. It looks like football down on the gridiron right now, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they're getting ready to go. This is always the most physical of practices for the most part. It's because body, soul, and spirit, when you walk in between those white lines, baby, you know here it comes. And even if you're not a very physical player yourself, even if you happen to play a position that isn't very physical, maybe you're a wide receiver, that it's physical all over the field, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're a wide receiver and physicality is not a big part of your game. Well, you know that today that might change because Judge Dredd may actually make a house call on you at some point in time. It's not like it used to be. We all understand that. We know that. But in practice, still, in the game of football, in practice, you'll see guys get waylaid from time to time. Maybe it's a little payback for something you did earlier on, right? Maybe it's just a natural play. Maybe it's the desperation of defenders trying to make a play on a wide receiver. It really doesn't matter. When the pads go on in practice, when you know you're not going to get a flag, you're going to bust somebody from time to time. You're trying to get the attention of the coaches. And the easiest way to get the attention of the coaches, knock somebody out. Not literally, metaphorically.
Who are you looking at? Like not right now, but I mean once the hitting starts.
Yeah, well, once the hitting starts, I'm sorry, I'm going to be looking at Rodney Hudson. I'm going to be, it all starts with the snap of the pig, doesn't it? And Rodney Hudson is that guy right here. Listen, the guy's one of the best centers in the National Football League. You could build an argument that says he's the best center in the National Football League. And the fact that somehow, some way, Steve Keim pulled that trade off and got Rodney Hudson in here and then signed him to an extension. I'm telling you right now, that's one of the reasons why he's good at his job. And for you Steve Keim haters that are out there, you're never going to be able to change that fact. Never be able to change the fact he made that trade, made the trade for DeAndre Hopkins as well. Are you kidding me? Do we need to go over that? That trade, it's about team building. Never forget that, Basinonians. It's not just the draft. It's about team building. How many rookies do you see across the National Football League? How many rookies do not make it in the National Football League? It's because they're rookies. You want veterans that you know what you're going to get from them, veterans that can play. Do you still got to develop? your rookies and your draft picks? Of course, we all understand that. It's the bloodline. I still believe it's the bloodline for every National Football League team. But having said that, the general manager's job in 2021 is about building a team. Team building year in and year out. These one-year free agents, we see that. These guys can be make or break on your team. The glue to your team can be the one-year free agent that you go out and you sign and you bring them in. And I am looking forward to Rodney Hudson busting somebody's chops today.
I am. Speaking of that same type of thing, I'm sure it won't happen today. We might have to wait until Saturday at the red and white practice. But the Cardinals signed Corey Peters. And I'm kind of excited to see Corey Peters versus Rodney Hudson, just to have two guys that are really good at what they do and two veterans set a tone on the line of scrimmage.
That's a great one right there. I didn't even think about that, Doug Lease. That is great. Corey Peters, they signed him to a one-year contract. He's 32 years old.
Your team instantaneously got better with that.
I mean, honestly, right now, Corey Peters is going to be in the rotation once again. Is he going to the Pro Bowl, ladies and gentlemen? No. Is he going to be the difference between the Arizona Cardinals being a playoff team and a Super Bowl team? I don't believe so. Is he going to help them win games? Yes.
And that might be the difference between getting to a Super Bowl playoff, whatever.
You just never know. I'm not going to put it in that context. I do know they're a better team today because of Corey Peters. Nobody out there is going to believe it. Hey, Wolf, you know what? Why didn't anyone else sign Corey Peters that is out there? You're right. But I can also tell you this. Corey Peters wants to be here. He wants to be here. I know. Why do I know that? Because I've talked to Corey Peters about that very thing. He loves Arizona. He loves Phoenix, and he likes the organization.
The other person for me, and I realize I talked about it earlier this week, but I haven't heard anybody say Zaven Collins is getting butchered. He doesn't know his playbook. He doesn't, you know, nothing negative from Zaven Collins so far. So what happens when he gets hit? What happens when real life people are coming at him to block him? Does he still know the playbook just as well? And is he still able to lead when something like Corey Peters isn't happy because he just got hit on the previous play? Or a situation where you have Chandler Jones questioning you in the middle after you just got hit? When it's actual football, how well are you going to do?
Where is Zaven Collins right now, Douglas? Where is he? I think he's over there, actually, jogging onto the field.
I think so.
Right now, once again, they are in individual right now, working with the offensive linemen, of course, the defensive linemen, DBs are working together, corners and safeties. That's the DB room for the most part, linebackers that are in individual right now, but they'll come together for group. That typically is how you'll do this. I don't know. It might be a little bit different with Cliff Kingsbury, but they'll come together with what's called group. And that means, okay, maybe the offensive line is going to go one-on-one with the defensive line. That's called group. You move from individual to group, and then you go team. And that has not happened yet, but I can guarantee you today we're going to see 9-on-7.
Are we?
Nine-on-seven is I consider that to be group. It's not team. It's 9-on-7, and 9-on-7 for the most part, or inside run, it is exactly that. It is the 9 offensive players against the 7. A lot of times you'll throw another safety in there as well against the 7 defensive man front. Sometimes it's an 8-man front if you're going to go with 12 personnel. But 9-on-7, where it's inside run, it is one of the best drills you could possibly do. I think we'll see that. We've seen it already in the spiders. We've seen it already in the soft shells. Why wouldn't you do it when you've got full pads?
Well, I will amend my answer then. If we're doing 9-on-7 today, how do you not look at both inside linebackers then?
You know what? In 9-on-7.
Year one and year two. Here we go.
9-on-7. Here's a prediction for you right here. Here it comes. Chandler Jones, Isaiah Simmons, outside linebackers. Inside, yeah, Jordan Hicks and Zaven Collins. Inside. We've seen it in these practices before. The 34 defense. We've seen these practices and we've seen them with that personnel group out there. That's something we're going to see here today. Mark my words.
Is that the best defense the Cardinals can put on the field, or is that just a package for certain offenses?
I think bingo. Ding, 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 Douglas. You just won the prize.
I didn't know there
was
one.
It's going to be for the Tennessee Titans. Stop and think about it. The Tennessee Titans, Basinonians, they're going to come out in 12 personnel in rundown situation. First and 10, second and 1-6. They're going to come out with two tight ends and Derrick Henry and two wide receivers. And those wide receivers are going to be A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And they're going to line up and attack the line of scrimmage. You better have, okay, you've got a 3-4 defense. That's what the Arizona Cardinals run. You better have some linebackers. And that's exactly why we're seeing this. We're seeing the 34 look, the 34 front with four linebackers. Chandler Jones on the outside, Isaiah Simmons on the outside, and Jordan Hicks and Zaven Collins on the inside. That, I promise you, is what we're going to see against the Tennessee Titans. Except maybe you're going to see Buddha walk down and get in that box as well. Because that is a power personnel team with a power personnel running back in Derrick Henry.
You love the Diamondbacks, but they haven't joined us this year.
Man, I'm telling you, what did I do?
You've been so fired up and excited about the growth of DeAndre Ayton until the last four games of the season, and we talked a lot about that and Chris Paul. But you really missed football.
Yes, I did. You can tell I'm jacked.
If you miss football, text us why. Text us your feelings. All you have to do is jump on the FanDuel text line at 620-620. And as long as you include your name on it, we'll do our best to try to tell everybody exactly what it is that you think. Coming up next, it was the biggest news in the NBA yesterday. The Suns look to be not only back, but they added a piece. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug Franz, four-time Pro Bowler and former Cards fullback Ron Wolfley. The Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We'll talk Suns in just a second. We're live at State Farm Stadium. And ballpark, about 200, 250 fans here as well. It is open to the fans, but obviously we understand a little bit when you've got a job going on right now and your kids might be at school right now. A little difficult for everybody to get here, but boy, if you're able to, you have so many seats to choose from, incredibly close you can get for a free practice to watch hitting today. Mm-hmm. And that's what's has not started as of yet. Guys are still in individual. The only takeaway I've had through the first 40 minutes of practice is I'm still not used to seeing number 21 on defense not be Patrick Peterson, as Malcolm Butler is down there in his number 21 jersey. That is, like, when you look at him, you can tell from here that's clearly not Patrick Peterson. But it's still just strange to see 21 on defense. And no, that's not Pat P. But that man over to our right, even though he's standing on our left, saved a Super Bowl for the New England Patriots, and he's back in this building.
What's amazing about it, exactly, he did it right down here, and I asked him the other day, had the opportunity to talk to Malcolm Butler. I said, have you gone and actually stood in the area of that? And he said that no, he had not done that yet, but he was waiting till after the practice to go over and stand where he picked it off. I mean, that's just to me. Legend. I love it.
We have a text from the text line this morning. Mike in Phoenix sent it in. He said the expected signings of the Suns were great, but the unexpected one could be huge. JaVale McGee, 7'2", 270, a vet with three rings, and fills a big hole as a needed backup in the paint. Mike, whatever you're doing, don't quit your day job because your opinion is so valid. I don't want to lose my job when you take it from me because you are exactly right. I think that's the icing. I mean, none of this is important if Chris Paul isn't a Sun and he's back. And obviously number two was, and even harder than Chris Paul, was were you going to be able to re-sign Campaign when for the first time in his life he's going to be able to have a chance at generational money? And it might be the only time in his life. You hate to say that. You want to believe in yourself and believe you've proven yourself and you're going to sign again. But he decides to stay because the money was fair at 3 years, $19 million. And don't forget that. That's important. But also because Robert Sarver showed him the commitment and Monty Williams didn't forget him and brought him in. I mean, there's so many positives to him. But let's quickly move into how powerful the JaVale McGee signing truly is, because it fills that massive hole. Yes, there would have been massive holes if you didn't get Chris Paul and if you didn't get Campaign. But if you went into free agency with the assumption they wanted to stay, then JaVale McGee is a big signing.
You know what, Doug Lisa? I feel like I've talked an awful lot about JaVale McGee, and I feel like you haven't. So why don't you go ahead and you talk about it while I watch what's going on with the offensive line? You know what? No, I'm just kidding. JaVale McGee.
Right now,
to me,
that's only because nobody's actually hitting you. So that's why you're willing to talk about it.
Exactly right. JaVale McGee to me, I absolutely love this. I love this for a number of reasons, Basinonians, but the first and foremost reason is because I think he's going to be an excellent fit inside that locker room. James Jones values the culture, values the chemistry of the Phoenix Suns, just the way that Monty Williams values that. You need guys like a JaVale McGee, who's 33 years old, a 7-footer, 270 pounds, a guy that will bang, a guy that is a motor guy to me. He goes out and he gives you the effort from JaVale McGee is never questioned. Not at this point in his career. He's kind of experienced a rebirth in his career late in his NBA career right now. And this is a guy that I think is going to be really, really good for DeAndre Ayton. And that cannot be overstated, because DA once again is in the developmental phase of his career. He's still developing. I don't know if he ever will completely be a finished product, whether we're talking soul, spirit, or body. I don't know if you're ever going to be a finished product in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball or the
DeAndre
NHL.
DeAndre Hopkins said yesterday, I don't think I reached my peak yet.
There you go. Exactly.
Think about
Douglas.
That as we talk about DA now.
Exactly right. I just don't know. AJ Green and the way he looks rejuvenated, this rebirth of his career. I think JaVale McGee is going to be an excellent addition. And I think he's really going to help DeAndre Ayton develop. And that, to me, is the reason why I'm so jacked up, because of it.
You know, it brings up a really good point. How many times in the past, and we're talking about, you know, 5 years ago now, did Devin Booker talk about his offensive game developing in one-on-one games with P.J. Tucker? As good of a defender as P.J. Tucker is.
In practice, man.
Well, now, if you look at that through that same prism with JaVale McGee, DeAndre Ayton is still extremely point guard dependent. And name the time you can, it's about once a month you'll see DeAndre Ayton get the ball on the block, do a pump fake up and under and slam it on somebody. You know, it's very, very rare, but it's totally in his game. He has the footwork. I'll say it. I'm not saying he will be, but I'll say it. He has the feet to actually have Olajuwon potential in his game. It's there. Now, it's up to him to develop him. If you watch Hakeem Olajuwon as a rookie and a first-year player, a second-year player, he could dunk, okay? And then he had a little bit of a turnaround. But that was about it. And it was through unbelievable work ethic to use the great feet he had developed as a soccer goalie in Africa to turn his game into being one of the greatest centers of all time. Ayton never had that work ethic before, but now he's got Chris Paul pushing him, and now he's got a JaVale McGee in practice defending him, and you're going up against an excellent defensive center every day in practice.
Yes.
I'm not saying he has the Devin Booker work ethic, but if it comes anywhere close to that, you could see an Ayton you don't even recognize next year because of the signing of JaVale McGee.
Yeah, that's great, Douglas, honestly. 7 foot. 7'270". I love that. Bang away. Get in there, JaVale McGee. You actually have a role on this team, and that is to get in there, be that motor guy, be aggressive, be physical, bang away. have at it. Foul out every game. I'm pretty jacked up because we all know that's exactly what the Suns really needed, and it became more and more apparent in the postseason with each passing series, and then finally with the Milwaukee Bucks, whenever DeAndre Ayton would exit the floor, man, you just felt it. It was a very, very tough proposition without DA out there. And not only that, too, maybe there's a couple of lineups for a couple of minutes that you want to run out DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee at the same time. Maybe have DA at the four, whatever it might be, go big right there. I don't know, but I'm sure Monty Williams has a plan for that. And JaVale McGee is a willing participant, and that's what I love about the guy. He's a willing participant. What do you got for me? I'm not going to come in with any attitude, except I'm going to ball out every time I get a chance. He's a motor guy and an effort guy, and that's going to bode well for DA.
And if he then even remotely tries to match that motor, because remember with Rashawn Holmes, he was always shocked at the motor of Holmes and never realized, you know, you're allowed to do that too. And now that he's a little more aware of life,
yes,
hopefully he grabs onto that. We're live at State Farm Stadium in the broadcast booth overlooking Cardinals practice. They've got about an hour and a half left. They haven't started hitting yet, so we're kind of looking out for that moment to see who's going to get hit. There's two things. Yeah, I know. I can't wait. There's two things you've got to know. One, what D-Hop said yesterday about his quarterback. Two, we're looking out the field, and there's something I don't see. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hitting.